I'm Pastor Myron Dom. At Northmark Church, we believe the Bible is God's holy word, given to us from God for our benefit. God's word gives us wisdom, direction, comfort, and conviction. As we expound His word verse by verse each week, we hope to encourage and give you insight as you walk one step behind Jesus. Thanks for listening.
Well, church family, today we begin a new journey. We're going to walk verse by verse through the book of Acts, the New Testament book of Acts. It's shorthand for the full title, Acts of the Apostles. It could also be entitled Acts of the Holy Spirit. For this book chronicles not only the beginning of this movement we know as the church, it also showcases the Holy Spirit, who is the power behind this new work from God. Every journey begins with a single step. And so this morning, we're going to dive right in to Acts chapter 1. Would you take your copy of God's Word with me and open it to Acts chapter 1. You'll find it in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1. Acts is authored by Luke, the physician. You recognize that name because he also authored the gospel account that we just walked through verse by verse these last several years. He begins the second writing of his with a reference to the same friend to whom he had written the original gospel of Luke, a man named Theophilus. He says here in verse 1, "In my former book," referring to the Gospel of Luke, Theophilus, "I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen." The apostles were those original hand-picked dozen disciples of Jesus who were with him from the start of his ministry until his ascension back into heaven. Verse 3, "After his suffering, he showed himself to these men," these apostles, "and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. He had been resurrected from the dead. He wanted them to know it, and so he appeared to them over and over during that 40-day period. Verse 4, "On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command." Center in with me here, friends. "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized," say it with me, "with the Holy Spirit," with the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that transforms this quivering, painfully inadequate cluster of followers into a dynamic, fearless group of disciple makers that multiplies incredibly, establishing the church. Because of their personal transformation, we are here today. Think about that. If those dozen or so people had not submitted themselves to Jesus Christ, believed his word, and waited for this gift of the Holy Spirit, if that had not occurred, we would not be sitting here today in worship. And all the credit for all this magnificent work that's occurred over the last 2,000 years, all the credit goes to the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, there'd be no book of Acts. Without the Holy Spirit, there'd be no Christian church. Yet many still struggle to understand exactly who is the Holy Spirit. This morning, I want to kind of preface our study through the book of Acts by talking more in depth with you about the nature of the Holy Spirit. Some think of him as a ghost or an imaginary character. People can easily see God as a father We read about Jesus as a son, a man, but what about this Holy Spirit? What exactly is he? The Holy Spirit is the one who dwells in us as believers. He is the gift of God's presence to us in our lives. And he makes the difference in us because he is the one that transforms our character, causing us to become more like Jesus. The question I want you to ask as we begin our journey today is this: do I know the Holy Spirit personally? What do I know about him? Am I experiencing his presence? Am I seeing evidence of his power in my life? We need to. And so I want you to take this next step today in following Jesus. It is simply to know the Holy Spirit. Say it with me: know the Holy Spirit. To understand who he is and what he does, we need to explore his nature. Now, on your outline this morning, I provided a host of scriptures. We're not going to look at all of them. We don't have enough time this morning. But I encourage you to take time this week to read through every one of those verses and grasp a better understanding so you might know the Holy Spirit. First, you must realize the Holy Spirit is a person. He is a person. He is not simply a force. He is not simply a source of power. He's a person. Psychologists tell us the attributes of personality are threefold: intellect, emotion, and will. A person must have all three. Well, the Holy Spirit does. He possesses intellect. How do we know this? He knows the thoughts and hearts of God, according to Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 teaches us this: for who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God, say it with me, except the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit also possesses emotion. Our emotions, our actions rather, can wound him emotionally. We are emotional people, and we can either bless each other or hurt each other. The same holds true with the Holy Spirit. For the Bible tells us in Ephesians 4 that we should not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. When you have a friend who acts poorly, it grieves you, doesn't it? It distresses you. It causes you concern for them. Likewise, the Holy Spirit feels this way with us when we choose to behave badly. We can grieve him. He has emotion. The Holy Spirit possesses will. In a passage describing the distribution of spiritual gifts, we read this in 1 Corinthians 12. All these, speaking of the gifts, are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. So given what spiritual gifts you possess, you can realize it's the Holy Spirit that gave me this gift. I didn't ask for it. I didn't choose it myself. He chose it for me. He has desires. He has a will. He has plans, and he makes choices and distributes his gifts as he wills. The Holy Spirit is a person. He exhibits intellect, emotion, and will. Secondly, we must realize the Holy Spirit is God. He's an equal member of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We know he is God because in the Bible, he is called God. One account in Acts clearly illustrates his deity. Ananias and his wife were new followers of Jesus. They lied to the apostles regarding an amount of money they were going to contribute to the church. Peter says to them, "Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you've lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? You have not lied to men, but rather to God." Peter interchanges his references between God and the Holy Spirit. What's he teaching us here? They're one and the same. The Apostle Paul underscores this later in 2 Corinthians 3, where he says simply, "The Lord is the Spirit." He's helping the new Christians understand when you talk about the Spirit of God, you're talking about the Lord God. They are one and the same. We know the Holy Spirit is God because in the Bible, he is also associated with God. We find this at the baptism of our Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 3. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." That voice is of the Father. There's the Spirit descending, and here's Jesus all wet. Father, Son, and Spirit interacting with one another, all three members of the Trinity. Jesus underscored this association between all three in his final words to his disciples before he left them. In Matthew 28, he said this, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name," say it with me, "of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Again, we see the Holy Spirit associated with God the Father and God the Son. We know the Holy Spirit is God because he performs the actions of God. Everything God does, the Holy Spirit does. Scripture indicates that the Holy Spirit was involved at creation. He was involved in believers becoming born again. He was involved with giving us resurrection life that lasts forever. In Scripture, we see the Holy Spirit performing miracles. The Holy Spirit does it all. And we know the Holy Spirit is God because he has all of God's attributes. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He is holy. Everything we can say about God, we can say about the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, we must realize that we are baptized with the Holy Spirit at salvation. Let me explain this. According to Acts chapter 1, verse 5, Jesus promised those early disciples, now called apostles, that they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And days later, they were at Pentecost. We'll be looking at that in just a couple of weeks. This initial baptism, this initial giving of the Holy Spirit was a transition point between the old covenant work of the Holy Spirit, characterized by the Old Testament up through the life of Jesus, and then the New Testament or New Covenant work of the Holy Spirit, which got inaugurated right after the resurrection. So these disciples were in that transition period between the old work of the Holy Spirit and the new work of the Holy Spirit. During this transition time, they began to talk with other people about the resurrected Lord, and many people chose to believe. The apostles prayed for these new believers that they too would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and they did. As the church took root, and as it developed, the Holy Spirit started to come on those who believed at the moment that they believed. We find this to be true with the believers in the church at Corinth. On one of Paul's journeys, he helped establish this church, and he taught them in 1 Corinthians 12, "For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body." The body of Christ. This baptism, where people putting their faith in Jesus would immediately have the Holy Spirit in their lives, continued from that moment after that transition occurred throughout the rest of the New Testament and continues today. when you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, whether you were a little kid or just did it 2 weeks ago, at the moment that you trusted Jesus, the gift of the Holy Spirit was given to you. It is God's gift. It is His promise. It is His seal upon you, like stamping you with the seal, you belong to me. When we start following Jesus, when we trust Jesus for salvation, we are baptized, the scriptures teach us, into the body of Christ. We become part of God's forever family. Our sins are washed away and we are made new, a new creation. How does all that transformation occur? Because of, say it with me, the Holy Spirit. Only He could take a person who's dead in their sins and make them alive in Christ. Finally, we must realize we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. This filling can happen over and over as we are empowered to lead our lives for the glory of God. God's word commands us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's already present in our lives as a Christian, but we can be filled, meaning He has more of us. Not that we get more of Him, He's already present, but He gets access to more of us. In Ephesians chapter 5, we read this, "Don't be drunk with wine," Scripture teaches, "because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit." I've taught you, and I want to reinforce it this morning. Before you leave your bed, before your feet hit the floor to begin your day, ask the Holy Spirit to fill you, so that as you enter your new day of work and service and caring for others and honoring Jesus, you do so with the assurance, the Holy Spirit will direct my steps today. The Holy Spirit will give me the power to say no to temptation so I can say yes to the Lord. I need the Holy Spirit to do this. I want you to think of your life like this balloon right here. Let me put some air in it. Now we would say that that balloon is full of air, wouldn't we? It's full of air. In the same way, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, there's some little guys watching that balloon right there. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit in you. He's there. It's not that we're asking, and when we ask to be filled, we're not asking for more of the Holy Spirit because He's already filling you. What we're asking for is the grace and the willingness and the obedience and the courage to let Him have more of us, to expand His influence in our lives. Same balloon, same Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit's having a greater influence, is He not? Now what happens is this, life goes like this. That's called stress, pressure. You know that feeling where it's getting sucked out of you? Sometimes you trip and fall and make a real mess of things. Has the Holy Spirit left you? No, He's still there. This is really important. Now, every analogy has its limits, but I want you to get the picture here. He's still there. The Holy Spirit is still in your life. As a follower of Jesus, He does not leave you. It's not as if, well, I had the Holy Spirit yesterday, then I got mad at my wife and blew up at her, and so the Holy Spirit left. So now this morning, Pastor Myers telling me, ask the Holy Spirit to come back in. No, that's not what I'm teaching here. Everyone nod your head. No, that's not what we're teaching here. When I get mad at my wife and blow up at her and sin in that fashion, the Holy Spirit convicts me because I got deflated. And the Holy Spirit's like, Myron, that's not the way I want you to live. I want you to choose to humble yourself and be honorable to that person and choose to give them grace, not be so hard on them. Say, yes, yes, Lord, yes. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Help me to be a better husband. I mean, a really better husband. Even better than that. Now that's better. See how this works? It's still the same balloon. It's still the same Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit has more of me. And so my influence can be greater. Do you understand this, church? How many of you are living your life like this? And you're living like this, and you've been living like this for decades. As we study the book of Acts together, my goal is that you'll be able to see what God the Holy Spirit did in the lives of these apostles, real people just like you and me, who when they said, I'll give you my whole life, I'll give you my whole balloon, he took their pathetic little warped balloon and he began to use it for his glory. And over time, that God caused them to be filled in a powerful way. Let me set this right here. Well, it's not going to sit there. I want you to know the Holy Spirit. Take this next step as we begin our journey of Acts. Know him and let him have access to more of you. Would you join me in prayer? Father God, we know we need you. We say that regularly. But in the real matters of life, Lord, we are tempted so frequently to turn our backs on you. We are so tempted to just try to do it in our own strength. And like that little balloon, we can find ourselves being deflated. We can find ourselves being overcome. We can find ourselves responding poorly to the pressures of our life and causing us to not do well. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would help us to keep our eyes on you and to be able to honor you all the time. Help us not just to know about you, but to know you personally, to allow you to be active in our lives. We want our balloon to be filled with Holy Spirit helium. We want our balloon to be filled in such a way that we can honor you all the time. Please, Holy Spirit, have your way with us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I hope this message from God's Word has encouraged you in your spiritual journey. On Sundays, we have an Inspire service at 9 a.m. in our fellowship hall and two Engage services in our sanctuary at 9:30 and 11. Come by and visit us. You can also check us out on the web at northmarkchurch.com or simply download the Northmark Church app to your device. We would be honored to serve you in any way we can. May the Lord give you an increased awareness of His presence in your life.